We present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to what is in fact the last edition of the news quiz in the current series. And on that spontaneous and completely unrehearsed outburst of hysterical disappointment from our studio audience, we start the show with a cutting from the front page of the Brighton and Hove Leader, read by Catriona Young.
The New York Times, one of the world's most influential newspapers, has labelled Brighton as Britain's Costa Geriatrica and the historic lanes as a slum. The insults, along with other contemptuous and patronising remarks, are contained in a travel article published by the world-famous American paper. Now Brighton's head of tourism, Martin Sirk, is writing to the editor demanding an apology. He told the Leader, "The article is bizarre, insulting and misleading. It sounds more like Blackpool than Brighton."
Well, thank you, Robert Brignall of Brighton, for sending us that. Well, let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first the ultimate oldie himself, Richard Ingrams, and with him not only the original Lord Nome, but also Peter Cook. And facing them, the team captain's team captain, Alan Corran, and alongside Alan, the star of stage, screen, TV, radio, several books and a couple of musicals, Stephen Fry. Before we start round one, here's an item noticed in the Yorkshire Evening Post.
Soccer. Marseille chairman Bernard Tapie, in financial trouble since his club was ejected from European soccer in a bribery scandal, said today he'd resign by the end of the season to concentrate on politics.
And thank you, Neil Beanland of Leeds, for sending us that. Richard, as usual, the first question is for you. Where did 14 reveal themselves on a photocopier?
And as usual, I don't happen to know the answer to this.
Dear old Pete's writing it out for him, look.
The answer is that there were 14 people at an office party who got on the photocopier and were picked for England and lost 2-1 to Sweden.
Well, it's funny being about Malcolm Rifkin having something trapped in a photocopier, which probably accounts for his deep voice.
It used to be a great thing at school when photocopies started, that you would sort of sit on them naked and show people your bottom photograph. But that's not really the nature. There's some right-wing Tories who don't want any more defence cuts. Wrote a threatening letter to 10 Downing Street and left the original in a photocopier, which was picked up by the Labour Party and sent to newspapers and the News Quiz and other important organs.
Yes. These are the 14 Conservative MPs who threatened to vote against the government over proposed defence cuts, causing inevitable service personnel losses. And one said that you can already fit the entire British Army onto the terraces at Wembley Stadium. Well, you can if England are playing at home at the time. Defence Minister Malcolm Rifkin claims any shortfall can be made up by increased use of the territorials and has agreed with the Russians that they'll only invade on Sundays or during the third week in August. Peter, try your hand at this. Where will one of the whales meet the bear?
Where will one of the whales meet the bear?
Prince Charles' visit to Moscow, I think.
Absolute nonsense. Can you...
It's a shame to take the money, really.
It is.
It is the other whales. It is Mrs. Wales. It is the Radiant Diana.
Oh, to be
in close contact with John Major all week, because she wants to be a roving envoy like Fergie. And she wants to go to Russia and flutter her eyes at Yeltsin.
This is the Princess of Wales, who is set to become a roving envoy when she undertakes an official visit to the former Soviet Union. The Princess has been doing extensive research in preparation for her trip, and she's looking forward to meeting the Russian leader, Dr. Zhivago. Her status as unofficial ambassador was granted after the Princess had a meeting with John Major, where they discussed being sidelined and having no role in life. And then Di told him to cheer up. Even the Duchess of York is getting in on the act, and she's said to be undertaking an official visit to England in the near future. Stephen, where was the First Lady last past the post?
Last past the, past the post.
That's what I
must be a reference to Kim, I would have thought. Is it Little Kim of Canada?
Is
that right?
It is Kim.
And in a stunning example of Canadians having the guts to do what the British secretly want to do themselves. They have reduced the majority of the Canadian Conservative Party. Ignore that. It's just terrible left-wing rant. You can cut that out. From something like 157 to 2, and poor Kim herself lost her own seat. But it's been very exciting, because Canada isn't usually a very exciting place, is it? Let's be honest. Isn't someone called Toronto New York run by the Swiss? Which is a damning phrase.
Well, but, that sums it up pretty well, I think. This is the topsy-turvy world of politics in Canada, where weird things can happen, like the Conservatives losing an election and the Liberals forming a government. In going from 169 seats down to 2, no one's seen as many Conservative MPs taking a thrashing in one go since Miss Whiplash started offering her services. Now, Alan, will you listen to this? Pictures of Lilith made my life so wonderful. Pictures of Lilith help me sleep out. Well, that was Pictures of Lily by The Who. And your question is, Alan, who hopes his prince will come to make a claim?
Yeah, this is tiny but wondrously formed xenophobe Peter Lilly, who is much exercised by something he calls benefit tourists. He fears, I suppose, the Germans are going to get up early, come over here and put their towels on him. But in order to stop this happening, in order to thwart this, he wants a system of identity cards and palm prints. A ghastly vision of the future. It'll be like that wonderful thing Stephen was doing on Wednesday night, Stalagluft. Uh-huh. In order to get round this, people will get iffy tailors to knock them up maternity smocks and they'll tunnel into DHSS offices and hand over these false papers and get a council flat. It may be even more like Stephen's thing. I mean, Lily may be a German himself. Papiere bitte. Ha ha, for you, the benefit is over, Tommy. Anyway, I think it's that. Otherwise, I've made a complete arse of myself.
This was Peter Lilly, you're absolutely right. Secretary of State for Social Security, who suggested pension claimants should carry ID cards and provide a palm print, while the unemployed should be tattooed across the forehead with the word scrounger. And the sick will have a big yellow cross painted on their front door. And it'll forgive me having a quiet titter, because scores, if you can call them that. Richard and Peter, naught. Well, Alan and Stephen, triumphant with 6. Well played, chaps, so far.
Wait.
We start round 2 with an old critical notice that was observed on the back cover of a Dick Francis novel, Driving Force.
A year without Dick Francis would be as unthinkable as a year without the Grand National.
Well, thank you to Mrs. Jane Venice of Faversham in Kent for sending us that. Richard, whose sorry our estates are in a bit of a sorry state?
Yes, very good. it is Matey, isn't it?
Who has been Matey? Making,
well, I got...
Heir to the throne, to the Matey. Throne,
Matey. Known affectionately as Matey to me. he's been making a lot of speeches this week. One was blaming his upbringing on the fact that he'd lived in this huge palace. And so he'd had lots of disadvantages. And this explained why his marriage had broken up and how things hadn't worked out. It was all the fault of his environment.
Well, just in case there is some jot or tittle that you haven't remembered, I'll pass it across to the other side.
Well, I think it's pretty much covered. Estates, sad people growing up in horrid areas that are run down, and then going out and running down people who live in better areas and so on, and how simply appalling it all is. And thank God he noticed, because I think he's right.
This was Charles, Prince of Wales, filling in while he waits for the top job to become available. His Highness labelled the effect of poor inner-city housing as Lord of the Flies syndrome, not to be confused with the effect known as Lord of the Manor syndrome. Peter, what did Paddy win?
Paddy Ashdown... managed to drive his car into a motorcycle. He was not at the wheel. He has never been at the wheel, and But I imagine the question refers to the Booker Prize. And the unsurprising victory.
Absolutely right, Peter. It's the annual Booker Prize, a £20,000 cheque and a £1.20 book token, which was won by Roddy Doyle for Paddy Clark. Ha, ha, ha. The judges made their final decision from a shortlist which read like a veritable Who's That? Oh. Baroness Thatcher's book, The Downing Street Years, Ho, Ho, Ho. Which concludes with the former Prime Minister tearfully leaving office, failed to make the list, despite having a wonderfully happy ending. Yeah. Stephen, will you listen to this?
They are me.
Well, that was another Brick in the Wall by Pink Floyd and the pupils of Islington Green School. And your question is, Stephen, who failed the test for the pupils?
Ah, who failed the test for the pupils? It's so difficult, isn't it? Because every day in the newspaper, I've been reading newspapers this week because I knew I was going to do this programme. You didn't just pull me off the street, and I don't usually use them. But every day there is always some test or some survey or something, which usually I can talk about for long enough to give Alan Curran a chance to write something down. Her Majesty's Inspector for Schools has inspected and has come up with this news.
Peter's got an alternative answer. Which is much better and more interesting.
Paddy Ashdown, is it?
No.
Come on, Pete.
Virginia Bottomley failed her eye test. She was unable to find marks and sparks early in the morning.
Her pupils failed her, is that what you mean? Did you know, as a matter of interest, he's probably been in the eye, but it's just so extraordinary, it makes you wonder if there is a God controlling our language, that Virginia Bottomley, and you can work this out with a piece of paper and pencil at home, is an anagram of I'm an evil Tory bigot. Weird.
Anyway, the answer to the question, who failed the test of the pupils, is Her Majesty's inspectors, who took a week off from inspecting Her Majesty and went out looking for a working-class school instead. Their report was published by the Education Standards Watchdog, Ofbunk, and concluded that teaching was superficial, dull, undemanding, and the only thing that kids were learning was apathy when they could be bothered to turn up. Alan, what price of admission is providing food for thought?
This is Virginia Bottomley, who wants us to pay for our food in hospitals and other National Health Service things, so that if you're sitting there in agony with a large spotted dick and the consultant will come round and say, if you want custard on that, it's another 10 bob. Get out of that.
It is Health Secretary Virginia Bottomley, or as she's known in the NHS, the Right Honourable Handmaiden of Beelzebub MP, who is considering making charges for hospital food. If found guilty, NHS cooks could face a 3-year prison sentence. The scores at the end of the second round have changed dramatically, because although Alan Corran and Stephen Fry are 10, Richard Ingrams and Peter Cook are 2. Richard, why is the drive on for war in the ranks?
This is to do with the army, I think, isn't it?
No.
No. Is it to do with Auburn War?
I think it's to do with Stephen Norris.
Mr. Norris changes taxis.
Yes, it is. It is. He comes into it. He
did come in. 8 cabs a night in addition to his bicycle.
That's right.
He wants minicabs.
That's right, exactly so. Go ahead.
Can I just say something about Stephen Norris, who is the Minister of Transport, especially for the London region? If we had special red routes for people who wanted to get from one mistress to the other, it would be really helpful.
It's
So you got priority, you know.
Yes, this is about the army. And this is the imminent outbreak of taxi wars between black cab drivers and minicab operators. A government green paper proposes radical controls on drivers of minicabs, including one revolutionary measure known as passing a driving test. It's all the idea of Transport Minister Stephen Norris. Norris is known to female staff at Westminster. Yes, 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 Minister. I had that secretary in the back of my cab the other day. Peter, will you listen to this? Well, that was a piece by Humphrey Littleton and his band entitled The Dormouse, released on Dormouse Records. Your question is, Peter, what sleepy creature had its own tea party this week? This is a desperate attempt to get you some fun.
Come on, go for it. You can do it.
Which sleepy?
He's awfully good, Humphrey Littleton, isn't he?
He's very good, isn't he? I like him.
I used to go to his club in Oxford Street.
Did you really?
Yeah, it's very. I remember seeing you there when you were a rent boy, weren't you?
It could be something in the House of Lords.
It could indeed, it could.
Well, they're all asleep, aren't they?
Ah, yes.
It's pretty somnolent. It's quite somnolent here.
At your end, it is.
Well, we haven't done the knowledge, have we, Squab?
Oh, well. I remember in the old days, before you were allowed to do satire, you had to do 4 years off satire in the provinces and learn what a joke was. And now these people, Ben Elton's, these people come up and they do satire straight away, and they shouldn't be allowed, frankly. 4 years, you had to be born in Nigeria, you had to go to a prep school, and you had to go to college, and then you did your satire. But now anyone can do it. It's a disgrace, Barry. Yeah.
There's National Dormouse Week.
It is,
though. And it said in the Telegraph they're being reduced back into the wild. Where have they been? I mean, where is the tame in which dormice have been up to now?
It's the National Dormouse Week, one of the finest small rodent festivals so far this year. This is because the sleepy dormouse, immortalised by Lewis Carroll, is now dying out. A nationwide hunt was organised by schools who sent children out into the countryside telling them to find evidence of nibbled nuts. All week, the woods were alive with shouts of cough. One successful team. One successful team that returned with a small, sleepy creature with a tufty face and turned-up nose found that they captured Labour's Robin Cook by mistake. Stephen. Which jolly super stories turned out to be less than original?
Jilly Cooper used to be a journalist, didn't she? Mm. And she married a man called Leo Blom Cooper and went to live in Gloucestershire with some mongrels and wrote a series of books with girls' names in the title. And it transpired that she had chosen to include in these early books phrases that had come from an earlier novelist, an American woman whose name I'm afraid escapes me. But what's so bizarre, if you read them, is that the actual passages she copied are so completely uninteresting. It really is things like, you know, she got up and went to the window, and someone has discovered that this phrase is in an American book. But, I mean, if she was going to steal something, you'd think, you know, to be or not to be or something would be slightly more interesting. Anyway, that's sort of the long and the short and the slightly wide of it, I think.
It is, absolutely right. You've got to get your points with that. It's all about writer Jilly Cooper, who admitted plagiarism, but said she did it by mistake. The two of Jilly's works, Bella and Emily, published by Xerox and Gestetner, contain passages from Elaine Dundy's book, The Dud Avocado, about an American in Paris. Ms. Cooper was rather hurt by the revelation. After all, if you prick me, do I not bleed, she said, quoting from her next novel called Peace and War. Sorry to keep you waiting, Alan, but here it comes. Where are clean changes a-stirring?
Oh, I think this is that great liberal humanitarian Stephen Toomin, who wants prisoners to change their socks more because then they'd be much happier in the banged up nine to a cell with a bucket. It's some kind of punishment. They're not allowed to change their underwear either. And he thinks they'd just be much happier if they had clean underwear and socks and got regularly paid and might be like that on the outside if we had a decent economy.
This refers to the report from the prison's inspector released this week. It recommends many improvements in conditions. For example, it says prisoners should be given clean socks once a month, whether they need them or not. New arrivals will also be given first-night reception rooms where they can get to know interesting new friends. In the old days, that's what they used to call the showers. And the scores... Richard and Peter haven't improved upon their two. But Alan and Stephen have improved considerably on their 10. They're now 16. Before we start the final round, the following advertisement was noticed in the Leeds and District Express.
The last Viceroy Indian restaurant, once tried, never forgotten. Numerous waiters running around to your beck and call with food that would suit even the most developed palates. So if you tried Indian food before, even if you didn't enjoy it, try the last Viceroy. Guarantees four-course meal in and out within 45 minutes.
Well, thank you, Terry Hawken of Leeds, for sending us that. Richard, would you listen to this? Well, that was, of course, the Doctor Who theme by Peter Howell of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. And your question is, Richard, why is Auntie going for a third dimension?
I don't know why you say, of course, as if we all know that sort of thing.
It's very confusing. It's very similar to the theme from Doctor What. I know the answer to this.
Go on, give us the answer, Pete.
Doctor Who is going to be shown in 3D for charity. The BBC, I think.
But how can you see it if it's on the telly, if it's in 3D?
Because you buy special glasses.
I see.
Included with your Radio Times.
Oh, good.
And you drink out of these glasses while watching, and it sort of looks as if it's 3D.
This is the BBC's first 3D television season, which promises to bring popular programmes into the heart of your living room. And as these include a nature trail special on the buffalo, be sure to stock up on carpet cleaner. Peter... Whose comeback plans have a familiar ring? Or have a familiar ring?
I would say Big Frank is planning to box again because he loves the game. He has his children, he likes his kids, he enjoys boxing, and just because he's been defeated 3 times for a world championship is no reason for not doing it again, namely the 4th time.
You've got full marks for that. Yeah. This is the news that one of Frank Bruno's daughters has made him fight on. That doesn't bode well for his boxing future, being frightened by a 6-year-old girl. Happily, Frank will continue to appear in pantomime, where he delights audiences by asking, "Where are all the best years of my boxing career?" And they shout, "Behind you!" Stephen.
Yes.
What is the smell of change in the French underground?
Now, there is a perfume or scent named after a girl. Was it Urethra or no? It's called, well, there's a singer called Urethra Franklin, isn't there? His name. Francine is this particular fragrance.
That's
and
right.
It is going to be sprayed about the halls of the metro in
That's
order
right.
to induce suicide amongst the population of Paris is too big.
Yes, it's absolutely right. It's the Paris Metro, which is to have its very own scent, as you so rightly say, called Francine. For many years, the underground system has smelled of a mixture of old garlic, cheap red wine and burning electricity, a fragrance the French usually call le déodorant. Unless they're old foreign legionnaires, in which case they remember it affectionately as Camel No. 5. Alan, your last question in this series.
Oh.
Why was the old age man a bit of a new age man?
They found a 2.3 million year old man in the Great Rift Valley. And when they asked him to what he attributed his long life, he said spinach and leg over.
Was the discovery of the possible missing link between ancient and modern man from 2.5 million years ago. He was a vegetarian called Homo rudolfiensis, which seems like a bit of a strange name, but then his parents wanted to give him a good start in life. Scientists know he was a vegetarian from cave paintings, which reveal he had a Linda McCartney haircut. Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Richard, have you brought a jolly cutting?
This is a strange story in the Daily Telegraph about a man called Purefoy, who is approached, like many of us are, by a Jehovah's Witness. It says, the two struck up a friendly conversation which turned inevitably to the Bible. I just said that I thought it was odd the Bible doesn't mention dinosaurs. And he punched me in the face. A square-jawed type, Purefoy lifted his assailant into the air and threw him to the ground, shouting, I hope Jehovah witnessed that.
Peter, I dread to ask, but have you got a cutting for us?
This, oddly enough, is also from the Daily Telegraph. A German tourist who claims attempts to tell aircraft staff he was suffering from an exploding bladder led him to being charged with making a false bomb threat. You'll be freed from a Miami jail today.
Stephen, have you got something for
this? This is a dog owner, really, a very sensitive Welsh dog owner. It's in the Llandudno Weekly something. A story detailing a Ross-on-Sea woman's complaints about dogs fouling residential streets and frightening local children has offended the owner of a dog mentioned in the account. The man, who does not wish to be named, has asked for an apology as he believes the article upset his family. We therefore apologise to the unnamed man for any distress caused by references to the unnamed dog in the story, which made no reference to the dog's origins and carried confirmation from Colwyn Environmental Services that they did not consider the animal dangerous.
Alan.
Mine is from the Sydney Morning Herald. The Mollymook Bowling and Dining Club in Mollymook, New South Wales, which celebrates its centenary this December, has finally responded to years of feminist pressure by announcing that it will henceforth hold a monthly ladies' night, when members will come dressed as women.
Well, thank you all. And now let's look at the final score. Richard and Peter got 6, but Alan and Steve got a marvellous 20, the best score of the season. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Before we leave you, I'm very sad it is. Here's a cutting from a local newspaper advertisement sent in by Miss B. Dancox of Chiswick, London.
You too can know the confidence and comfort of a firm denture if you sprinkle your plate every morning with Dr. Thompson's powder. You can laugh, talk, and enjoy your meals all day long. Forget your false teeth and start using Dr. Thompson's today.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, Alan Corran, Peter Cook and Stephen Fry. The chairman was Barry Took and the cuttings were read by me, Katrina Young. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele. The producer was John Naismith.